Beyond Governance, making sense of doing business in South Africa, is proudly sponsored by Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Did you know that where markets are concerned, it's not easy to detect the difference between objective and subjective reality, or between reality and fantasy? The business's view of the consumer has serious bottom line implications. At Plus 94 Research, we help businesses cut through the uncertainty by gathering and processing real consumer intelligence through advanced scientific research methodologies. Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome to Beyond Governance show here at 1.1.9 High FM. Believe it or not, we are now entered in the last quarter of 2024. Time seems to have evaporated just like mist amidst the mist. When the mist see the sun, this is how I feel, in that time has moved so quickly. I'm pleased once again to share the space and time with you as we continue to make sense of complexities around our world, be it in politics or in business. Given our connectedness as a global citizen, we should be concerned with what is happening in the Middle East, Ukraine, in the continent here, DRC, as well as South Sudan. In my view, this complex web of international issues have triggered a sense of uneasiness across the globe, and with many fearing possibility of further global instability, especially in the regional conflicts when they expand or overlap. Be that as it may, I hope that some sanity prevail across the world so that we're able to minimize the damage and onslaught that we're seeing. But as we proceed, before I get to the gist of my conversation with the man who's no longer stranger to the show, Mr. Herman Mashaba, on issues of Tshwane as well as corruption charges against the Minister of Justice, allow me to dispense with worth of gratitude to Howard Feldman. Thank you very much to you and the Money Mayhem team for doing a sterling work. Howard will be back on your radio tomorrow, and he will certainly be giving you worthy insights on very critical issues. I also want to thank Vusima Singa, Greg Kutri, as well as Betsy, who is a technical producer of the show. Moving along, if you missed any of our previous conversation, not to worry, simply go to the High FM website, look for Beyond Governance link, download any link of your appetite, and then share your thoughts with us. I'm quite keen to hear from you. Our SMS line is 34519, the Telegram is 0618951019, and through your X handle, I will certainly be obliged to respond or personally hear from you in terms of what are the issues. Before we get to do the gist of my conversation with Dr. Herman Mashaba here, I just want to have a quick reflection on the latest controversy surrounding the former judge, Hlophe. And we all know that Judge Hlophe, the former judge, Dr. Hlophe, is now barred from any activities relating to Judicial Service Commission following the ruling wherein he was accused or personally found guilty of wanting to influence his colleagues back in 2008. In my view, this issue has sort of, I've been debating it for some time, and I just perhaps maybe want to throw it out there. And perhaps maybe I'm naive, but listen to my line of thought. Firstly, we know that the commission is made up of, the last time I checked, about 23 competent men and women. That is made up of what? The Chief Justice, President of Supreme Court, Judge, one Judge President, Minister of Justice, Representative, two Practicing Attorney. I can go on and on. This is like the 23 solid individuals that are a part of the JSC. What doesn't make sense to me, especially again, that's where my naivety comes into the picture here, is that there are a lot of individuals who were found wanting by the Zondo Commission, into state capture, who are presiding or who are members of parliament. And, and we don't really see much, rebuttal about their presence in those particular positions. And does this make sense? Does it make a difference to him alone? I certainly don't think Dr. Hlophe would adversely influence the 23 officials that I've referred to. I don't think so. And if I was sitting in that particular commission, I would feel slightly uneasy, if not offended, that by insinuating that one individual can override 23 super intelligent, experienced, ethically grounded individuals. But personally, it's a topic for another show. But I just wanted to put it out there because it's such a very intriguing issue, which, in my view, you know, that principle should be applicable to across the board. We have MPs in different serious positions who are found wanting, or at least allegedly found wanting, and they're still there. They're still there. And this is something that I find very fascinating. If you think I'm completely out of my depth here, which I'm likely, and because I'm not a leader, and your views and thoughts are always welcome via my X handle, which is _@DrMbele. Anyway, the show is not about the Judicial Service Commission. It's not about Jeff Lope. It's about Beyond Governance with Mr. Herman Mashaba, who is no longer a stranger to the show. I just wanted to take a quick chat before we get to the gist. Having said that, let me take this opportunity to welcome Herman Mashaba to Beyond Governance.
Thank you so much, Nimrod. And
thank you very much for coming through. I know you're a very busy person. And before we came live, and you just indicated to me that you quickly had to take this call, for it is important that you and I touch base. And I said to you, you must take care of yourself, man. You know, you must listen to your body. You've been working hard.
Oh, it's a crazy world. You know, my wife and I, end of August, we spent 2 weeks in the U.S. Because I thought I wanted to relax and go and watch the U.S. Open, and did a lot of driving. But in between, was really interrupted by the propaganda, which was unleashed by the DA, misleading the South African public around what was happening in Tshwane. And I'm now back. That's the reason why my body from time to time keeps telling me, please take it easy. Yeah, and that's exactly what I'm trying to do today.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for that. Let's take a quick break. Look back in a second on the very last point that you spoke about the propaganda in Tshwane. We'll be back in a second.
Beyond Governance, making sense of doing business in South Africa, is proudly sponsored by Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Did you know that most statistics for commercial and social research are tested for accuracy at a 95% confidence level? As specialists in the field, we do tests between 90 and 99% confidence levels. This is not to be confused with our name. Plus 94 is a celebration of the miracle post 94 in South Africa. We can still test the accuracy of your data at 94%. It is in our name to give you the confidence you need. Plus 94 Research. The science of decision making.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Governance. My name is Nimrod Mbele. I'm joined by Herman Mashaba, who's the president of Action SA. Before we took that break, he was giving us an overview of his very hectic schedule. You know, one thing that you touched about is the DA. And talking of the DA, perhaps maybe one should ask you a question on your view regarding the national, the government of national unity, which recently celebrated the 800 days in office. Your overall observation and take on that?
Well, I think, Nimrod, if we are fully and true Democrats, we have to, as South Africans, accept the electoral outcome of this year's elections. Because South African electorate said to all the parties that not a single party going forward should actually run this this country. This country, remember, coalition started at the municipal level. But now, for the first time, to see now to going up to national government. And there's nothing anyone can do than actually respect the will of the people. And unfortunately, it looks like there are other parties that do not really embrace this outcome, which for us as Action SA, we find it really very strange. We happy with the outcome of this grand coalition. It's only obviously we have a problem being called government of national unity, because it is not government of national unity. It's just the grand coalition between the ANC and the DA, and we've got to call it for what it is. But I think if we look at why we embrace it as Section SA, because it actually saved us from the emergence of Jacob Zuma's party, because I think the outcome, if we had allowed this party to be part of government, we believe as Section SA that South Africa was going to be plunged into chaos.
But I'm sure you can also agree with me that we had about close to 20 million South Africans who decided not to be part of the electorate. Surely that should be concerning.
Oh, very concerning. It's actually more than 20. I think if you look at eligible voters in South Africa, there must be close to 40. We've got close to 40 million people.
Yep.
Only just over 16 million people voted. I mean, it's really very scary. In a country that has got the highest sustainable unemployment rate in the world, a country with no borders, where international crime syndicates, be drug, whatever, they've identified South Africa to be their playground with the rape capital of the world. I can go on and on the impact of this. And I think if South Africans actually have actually embraced and actually realized the power of their vote, would not really be sitting with a country at risk like we are right now. So the challenge for us as South Africa going forward is to actually focus on voter education. It looks like it's not actually registering with these non-voters to actually think that it's only through democracy, not through the violence, means that their lives can change and will change.
I'm glad you raised the importance of voter education, because I remember back in the early 90s, there used to be supplements either from the Star, one of the popular newspapers. There used to be a supplement which was carried through and more educational in its content in terms of the roles and responsibilities of citizens in relation to the Constitution. And that seems to have evaporated. Also had a similar vote education, not before the elections, but throughout the period. Radio carried a lot of vote education messages, newspapers carries, and social media. And that seems to have evaporated, which in your view, something that needs to be resuscitated.
Without doubt. I know personally, pre-1994 elections, I spent millions of my family's money for voter education, working with Dr. Molapo and the Ken Foundation on a project called Teach the Teachers, something along those lines, where we really funded him to really go to the communities to educate them about the power of their votes, in terms of how they can change their current circumstances. Yeah, so it's something that even got me back into politics, and that's really one thing I'm really focusing on. And I think this year's elections have actually demonstrated even to me that the work we are doing now, it's not sufficient. It really needs to really be escalated. And I really challenge all South Africans, if we want to save this country, we've got to save it through a democratic means. Let's make sure that we can get as many people as possible to come out and vote, because their vote will give whichever government that's in power, give them the mandate to really be the government of the day.
In your view, Mr. Mashaba, what would you have contributed to the lack of voter education from a government point of view? Because I'm sure there has been a lot of research which has been conducted to try and then get to the bottom of this apathy that we're seeing, which is detrimental to the very same electorate. You have alluded to corruption, you have alluded to rape, you have alluded to a whole lot of social ills, which there might be a positive correlation. What would you say are the reasons behind that apathy? Because if we properly diagnose the challenges around vote apathy, we're more likely to bring forth practical, realizable programs that can reverse that kind of apathy.
Look, you know, what actually it's actually coming out very, very clearly. And actually, this was demonstrated by the 29th of May elections. You know, we've got two dominant parties, that's the ANC, involved to a large extent with corruption and failing the black masses. And the black masses, including myself, we are looking up to the ANC to to change the lives of all South Africans and unite us to really be one nation. And on the other hand, you've got the DA, which also some of us thought when we were beginning to realize ANC's failure, we thought DA will be an alternative. Unfortunately, I find them to be even much more polarizing our nation along racial lines than anything before. And that's really something of concern. If you look at how people voted this year, people voted along racial lines, identity politics, ending up with the people who are scared of the ANC, scared of the DA, voting to a large extent for MK. And the political parties like us, which we were trying to really appeal to South Africans that we can be the uniting force, the black masses were too scared of us, of our closeness to the DA, that by voting for us, they'll be giving their vote to the DA. On the other hand, the progressive white people thought with the multi-party charter, let's rather give our votes to the DA and Action SA will get the black votes. Unfortunately, Action SA got punished unconsciously by both and the fear of both constituencies. But I think we're not giving up on this project, on ensuring that South Africans can realize that political parties like Action SA are key for the success of this country, because we stand for all South Africans regardless of their race. We are not a race-based party. We are a party founded on social justice, on the free market economy, on believing in the rule of law. We believe in equal opportunity. We don't believe in equal outcome.
Interesting view that you've shared with us. Pretty much every political party will say exactly what you just said. They, you know, they are non-racial. They embrace equality and they promote, you know, merit. This is the kind of narrative that every political party, when asked, will respond to that. But the difference is in the execution.
Absolutely. I think I can share this with you, Nimrod. You know, I was made by my grandfather, obviously losing my father at the age of two. My grandfather really, I meant everything to him. He's the one who molded me to be the man I am. And one teaching and lesson that he used to instill in me is to judge people on what they do than what they say. He's taught me to listen to people, but ultimately judge them on what they do. And that's how I operate my life and conduct myself.
No, thank you very much for that life experience that you've shared with us. We're going to take a quick break. We'll break in a second to continue our conversation regarding what happened in City of Tshwane.
Beyond Governance, making sense of doing business in South Africa, is proudly sponsored by Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Did you know that where markets are concerned, it's not easy to detect the difference between objective and subjective reality, or between reality and fantasy? The business's view of the consumer has serious bottom-line implications. At Plus 94 Research, we help businesses cut through the uncertainty by gathering and processing real consumer intelligence through advanced scientific research methodologies. Plus 94 Research, the science of decision-making.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Governance. My name is Nimrod Kimbele. I am joined by Hemant Mashaba, who is the president of Action SA, giving us very interesting insights about about the government of national unity, of which, in his view, it is just a collision between the ANC and the DA, and clearly downplaying any other parties that are part of the government of national unity. But also, interestingly, acknowledging the importance of what the the benefits of GNU has been in terms of halting what he defined as extreme forces that would have further polarized South African body politic. But as we proceed on the same trajectory, we seem to have the same kind of issues emerging in all the metro. We have seen it in the city of Johannesburg, we've seen it in Ekurhuleni, we've seen it in the city of Tshwane, where the coalition were pretty much unstable. And to this end, your party supported a motion of no confidence against the sitting mayor of city of Tshwane. Take us through that, please.
Well, I can tell you without any shade of doubt, we are proud of the decision taken, and we are unapologetic about this, because unfortunately, if you look at the common denominator in the collapse of coalitions in the municipalities since 2016, if one does an objective analysis, and I've been there myself, the DA has been instrumental in the collapse of this municipalities, and that's exactly what happened in Tshwane right now. Of us as Action SA, when it came to our attention of the DA to wanting to get the support of ANC to oust us and kick us out of Tshwane. When this matter came out of our attention, and also we immediately reflected on the treatment we received we've been receiving from the DA ever since we as Action SA put them into power in 2021. This was obviously the final straw, and we immediately embarked on getting the mandate from our structures. And I can tell you, by the time we went to our structures were not even interested in us running that review process. They said to us, please get out of this relationship. We are the people on the coal face. We've really been abused. And you, as the leaders or the leaders of our organization, you've been protecting this DA. So, we out and unfortunately left us with no option than to engage with the ANC. And the ANC made advances to us. And why we accepted this, because if you look at the structure of the municipality of Tshwane, you've got the two groupings, or the group of the ANC and the groupings of the DA, which we were part of. So once Action SA pulls out of our relationship, which we have pulled out of that relationship with the DA. So if the DA and ANC, they don't find each other, none of them can form government without us. So we thought, instead of putting the residents of the city of Tshwane, let's have discussions with the ANC. Let's entertain the ANC to see if we can form government with them, on obviously based on conditions of ensuring that we have proper governance, we declare corruption as public enemy number one, and focus on delivering services to all our residents. So yeah, it is what it is right now. We're in discussions with the ANC. In another week, by next week Wednesday, as per the laws of our country, we will have a new mayor in the city of Tshwane, and it is not going to be a DA mayor.
Thanks for that insight. But one of the issues on a basis of probability, when you hear the argument presented by DA on the kind of corruption and malfeasance they had to fix within 18 months, the argument presented by DA is that they have done a lot of fixing. And some of the financials were stabilized, service delivery has improved, you know, building water infrastructure and those kind of issues. But, you know, when you look at this thing objectively, and there's merit in that line of argument, but there's also a practical merit in the sense of justifying any turnaround solution. 18 months in office, it's bad enough to turn the ship.
Well, Nimrod, you've got to be a fool to accept the DA's explanation. Let me tell you and remind those who have got short memory. The DA has been in government in the city of Tshwane since 2016. since 2016, 8 years. So I think they can only fool, I don't know who, maybe the ones, children who were born yesterday. DL has been, and you look at how many mayors they've changed ever since they took over power, including actually their removal of Randall Williams. I'm sure you saw the interview today, it's doing the rounds. It's a trending all over, where Randall is actually coming out to expose the DA's disloyalty, lies, deceit, and so forth. I don't know if you saw his interview. It's all over the media today.
I got a glimpse of it, but not in detail. But
I will send you the big part of his interview. I will send it to you immediately when we finish here.
I'll appreciate that. And I do like your response that one has to be an idiot to succumb.
No, you've got to be more than a fool to accept that.
Anyway, moving along, these are very interesting times. If you've just joined us, I'm having a very thought-provoking conversations with Herman Mashaba, who is the president of Action SA, around the governance of the local government, particularly in respect to City of Tshwane, where they seconded the motion pushed by the ANC to outthrow the DA mayor. And they've successfully done so, and in his view, they will have a new mayor, and in a matter of weeks, I would imagine.
So, we've got a deadline of next week, Thursday.
Absolutely, and we hope that there will be some kind of stability in the metro, before we all know that the metros play such a significant role providing desperately needed services to communities, especially the poorest of the poor. For we all know that when the elephants fight, the grass that suffers in this particular context, the poorest of the poor will suffer. For they need men and women who puts their differences aside and focus on them, not so much about politicking, but hopefully the kind of conversation that we are hearing and the practical nature of and the robustness of issues that are being presented are in their way trying to forge a path that will heal everyone else and focus on service delivery. As we proceed, Dr. Mashaba, one of the issues that I want to get your sense from, which has been trending for some time, it is the Minister of Justice, Thembi Simelane, who, based on the charges that you have brought before the police, that he should be found guilty of the corruption related to Gondo Wealth Solutions.
Well, this matter, obviously, it is tackled by our members of parliament, led by the caucus leader in parliament, Athol Trollip. Athol brought this to our attention a few days ago to say, look, guys, I've really tried my best. I wrote to the speaker, I wrote to the public protector, wrote to everyone you can think of. I'm not getting any joy or any positive response in ensuring that this matter can be properly settled. And the only thing left is for us to go and lay criminal charges. And I see yesterday our member of parliament from Limpopo, the member of parliament, who is now taking this matter up, and we just really want justice. We cannot live in a country where politicians commit crime and there are no consequences.
Well, I mean, from a principal point of view, that is also a very important stance to take, because that bolsters the morale of ordinary folks that justice is prevailed. The irony is that the Minister of Justice, there seems to be an injustice that has happened along the way. You were saying your chief whip raised this issue that, one, he communicated with the president, the parliament. Why is it that such matter did not receive the attention it deserved by the stakeholders that you have mentioned?
Nimrod, if you look at the culture that the ANC has created over the last 30 years of no consequences on wrongdoing, has become our way of life. Are we the murder capital of the world? We've got a borderless country, a level of fraud and corruption. Just to give you an example, I'm sure you're aware with the 3 years I was the mayor of the city of Johannesburg, uncovered 35 billion rands of fraud and corruption cases. Up to now, I'm not aware of anyone who's actually saving any prison sentence or having any recovery of this money. And I can tell you, majority of these cases were as clear as daylight. They're not cases sophisticated. They were clear cases that you just really needed our National Prosecuting Authority to do their job in ensuring that criminals are prosecuted. So there is definitely a deficit of willingness, political willingness to prosecute wrongdoers. And I think for us it's worrying because it's not only politicians who are getting away with murder. We are seeing international drug syndicates. We're seeing illicit the trade of goods, billions of goods are coming into this country. South Africa has become a dumping place of counterfeit goods, expired goods. And these goods, they don't pay taxes on. They open spaza shops in our communities, which I can tell you, these are things that are going to affect the lives of our poor people in the townships and informal settlements. And that's why, or no, the reasons why I can tell. If I'm going to be the last man standing in fighting this matter, I can tell you it's going to really be at really being forced. I'm compelled to be in the political environment, not because I enjoy it. It's a very difficult job, painful job where you are insulted on a daily basis. You work 7 days a week with no pay. I have to fund this. It's costing me a fortune every day of my life because I don't get paid by the party. The party cannot afford, and I don't really need to really be paid. I'm using my privileged position to fight the evil that is prevalent in our country right now, and also fighting political parties like the DA that is actually polarizing us along racial lines. We've got the DA, sorry, the ANC, the letting corruption people getting away with corruption and other crimes, and you've got the DA using fear mongering tactics to really get the white electorate to really be scared of us as black people.
Well, those are very interesting observations and thoughts that you're sharing with us. We're gravitating towards the end of the show. Let's have a quick break and be back in just a minute.
Beyond Governance, making sense of doing business in South Africa, is proudly sponsored by Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Did you know that most statistics for commercial and social research are tested for accuracy at a 95% confidence level? As specialists in the field, we do tests between 90 and 99% confidence levels. This is not to be confused with our name. Plus 94 is a celebration of the miracle post 94 in South Africa. We can still test the accuracy of your data at 94%. It is in our name to give you the confidence you need. Plus 94 Research. The science of decision making.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Governance. My name is Nimrod Mbele. I'm having fascinating, fascinating conversations with Hemed Mashaba, who's the leader of Action SA, and is really giving us interesting observations and thoughts on some of the issues that are bedeviling the country at the local government, national level, based on some of the policies that are obviously not in par. Before we took that break, the question that Ellen, I mean, Mr. Mashaba was putting to us is the extent to which they had to forge ahead with criminal charges against the Justice Minister Temi Simelane, for receiving close to 500,000 rands from Gondo Investment Solution that was linked to the now defunct VBS Bank. And in his view, that matter would not have reached the police had it been done justice by the parliament, by the presidency, and so on and so forth. So his view is that this matter can only be dealt at that particular level. He also gave us a very interesting thoughts regarding his tenure at the city of Johannesburg when he was a mayor, wherein he unearthed close to 35 billion rands worth of cases of corruption, malfeasance, of which, in his view, some of those cases were as clear as daylight, as he put it, and yet no one has been held to account. And he also buttressed that point by making reference to South Africa's borderless, the state of borders in the country, the state of illicit drugs that have been procured, the state of illicit cigarettes and counterfeit that are flooding the market at the expense of the fiscus. These are some of the issues that Helen Mashaba is sharing with us on this glorious day. As we conclude on the Justice Simelane's case, what is the end in sight from where you're sitting?
Unfortunately, we're not in charge of the prosecution in South Africa. We only got six members of parliament. We can only really, obviously, rely on our law enforcement agencies to take this matter up. The case has been opened, and I see in today's media, it looks like the hawks are interested in the matter. But at the end of the day, we don't have the authority on the prosecution and our law enforcement agencies. And I think in wrapping up regarding this issue of open borders and illicit trade, my biggest fear in South Africa right now is that all this majority, if not all, majority of those people opening shops in our communities, bringing money into our country through other means than through the Reserve Bank. This money actually is used to fund terrorist organizations. And that's something of major concern to me, that South Africa, it's actually the poor people of South Africa who are the biggest victims are actually funding terrorist organizations through these businesses that are opened in their communities.
Well, that's a very concerning statement to make. And if there's any merit in that, that's something that all South Africans should rally around and try and prevent it, for we're all going to be the victims. I would loathe, you know, to be complacent on some of these issues. We, you know, I've got personal, you know, stories of kids in townships and in former settlements who consumed some of these, consumables, and to their own parents, some died. And you clearly see that there are no controls. There are certainly no health protocols that have been respected by these kinds of businesses that only serve, unfortunately, in the poorest of the poor communities. And surely, in as much as South Africa is open for business, surely there has to be some level of controls. And you know, to your point, the control starts with managing the borders.
Absolutely. I think if we fail to face this matter head on, massive consequences, the health of our poor communities, because you and I, when we go and buy from regulated shops who are registered, pay taxes. The people in the communities where these people run their shops, we are threatening their lives, but at the same time, they are actually indirectly funding international terrorist organizations.
That's something that should be worrying. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it here, Dr. Mashaba. Thank you very, very much once again for your information that you've shared with us. And we are eternally grateful for your presence and your contribution in making this country a better country to be in.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Likewise, that was Mr. Helen Mashaba, who is the president of Action SA, giving us his views and thoughts regarding the government of national unity, as well as the position they maintain in as far as the criminal charges that were laid against the Justice Minister, Thembi Simelane. Well, we're going to have to leave it. It's been absolutely beautiful. Thank you very much for tuning in and listening to this thought-provoking conversation, which I think opens up our minds slightly more. We are a lot conscious about a lot of issues. And yeah, let's do this again next week. Meanwhile, until we meet again, Nimrod Mbele signing off. Shalom.